Blog Talk Radio.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman, and it doesn't pertain to all black women.
I know the type. They got drunk, they got guns, and yes, they're
Welcome to Sister Awareness. Welcome to Sister Awareness. Good morning. It's a lovely Saturday. And today we will have the Western Sahara Ambassador, the Honorable Mohamed Yeseline Bissiat. He will be our special guest. We will be discussing the history of the Western Sahara Arab Democratic Republic, its rich history, and the United States' position on its right to self-determination. The Honorable Ambassador will tell us why the Sahrawi control Western Sahara, ticks about that in that region, and whether or not Morocco lacks a firm legal standing. In addition, we also will analyze the legal political deadlock and the UN's lack of response. I have a few special guests that will be on the show as well. My sister Cecile Johnson will be on. Brother Carl will be on. And the ambassador is going to be joining us very soon. I'm going to bring all of the callers in, but the ambassador will have the floor. So as I bring you in, I'll say the last four digits of your number. Please introduce yourself and the city and the state that you're calling from. Caller with the last four digits, 2788, will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Greetings, Sister Elena and Ambassador. This is Cecile Johnson, and I'm live from Chicago.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Last four digits, 3451. Will you please state your name and the city and the state that you're calling from?
This is Jacqueline, and I am also live from Chicago right now.
Welcome, Sister Jacqueline.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Last four digits, 4001. Will you please state your name and the city and state that you're calling from?
Yes, this is Carl Lowry, and I'm calling you from Arusha, Tanzania. Glad to be
Wonderful.
Here.
Thank you for joining us. Last four digits, 4622. Will you please state your name, city, and the state that you're calling from?
Hi, good morning, everybody. I am Mohamed Bissiat, Ambassador of Sahrawi Republic in South Africa, and I'm calling from Valencia in Spain, where I am right now.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Honorable Ambassador, for joining us. We look forward to having you as a guest. Will you please start by telling us, giving us some of the rich history of the Sahrawi peoples and the Western Sahara region? Just paint that historical picture for us and tell us where you are, who you are, and some of the things that the great people of the Western Sahara tribe, what do they do? Who are they? Who are the Western Sahara people?
Thank you very much, Elaine, Sister Elaine, and greetings to you and to all your distinguished guests. The Sahrawi people is an African nation. It's a hybrid made of Moorish, Africans, Arabs, and Berber hybrid. They speak a dialect is named Hassaniya. They have been in Western Sahara since centuries. Then when the colonialism came to our continent, you know, they started the Moravid Empire that ruled Western Sahara, Mauritania, Morocco, Algeria, and southern of Spain. Then the Moravid Empire disappeared, and there came many other empires from the south and from the north. Then in the modern colonialism, Spain came into the territory and were a Spanish colony. In the 50s, when our neighbors Algerians started fighting the French, we also started our war of liberation. That continues till 73, when we did the unity for all the tribal society, the trade unions, those who were involved in the anti-colonial struggle, and we created Front, which name Polisario Front, which stands for Spanish acronym Frente Popular para la Liberación del Tagel Hamra y Rio de Oro, which goes for Liberation Front for Western Sahara. Then in 1975, our two neighbors, Morocco and Mauritania, in connivance with France and the then government of the United States, especially Henry Kissinger, have decided to divide our territory between our neighbors in total disregard of the aspiration of the Sahrawi people, against the ruling of the Court of The Hague, against the countless decisions of the OAU, especially Comité de Libération, Liberation Committee, against its countless rulings and resolutions of the United Nations. Henry Kissinger just decided with the fascist regime of Spain, with especially Morocco, to divide our land, to invade it, to oblige our people to continue struggling against the new invaders, the new colonizers. And that war that started in 75 continues till 91, where United Nations brokered a peace deal between us and Morocco, where we'll give the chance to the Sahrawis themselves to choose their own destiny, to exercise their right of self-determination, and to choose between being and continue to be an independent state as the Sahrawi Republic or to be integrated in Morocco. We accepted that deal brokered by OAU, African Unity Organization, and Morocco accepted and we signed it. But then Morocco walked away from that deal and they did not honor it. United Nations during Kofi Annan sent James Baker III, former American Secretary of State, and he brokered a Houston Agreement that we signed with Morocco in 1997, which again gave a date for the referendum to be held in 98. Again, Morocco managed to run away from that deal, and today they are saying openly they are not going to do a referendum no matter what. This stalemate led to the renewal of hostilities since the 13th of November, last 13th of November, when Morocco opened fire against its Pacific civilians, Sahrawi civilians, who were demonstrating against the Moroccan occupation. At that level, hostilities broke, and today, as we speak, there is a war going on between the Sahrawi Republic and the Kingdom of Morocco. The last item of news happened last Friday, when the Peace and Security Council of African Union have adopted a new resolution under the chairmanship of Uhuru Kenyatta, the president of Kenya, where they ask the direct negotiations between the two member states of the African Union, the Sahrawi Republic and the Kingdom of Morocco, to be held as soon as possible in the framework of Article 4 of the Constitutive Act of the African Union, which stipulates the scrupulous respect of the inherited frontiers at the independence and the non-acquiring of land by force and the right of the people of self-determination. We think the last position of the African Union is an extraordinary one, a very positive one, but Morocco again issued a statement yesterday saying that he will not abide by this resolution of the African Union. So here we go. Morocco occupy our land, violate the rights of our people, steal and plunder the natural resources of our land, and refuse to abide by the resolutions of the African Union, of the United Nations, and of the international community in total and absolute disregard of this legality, but also impunity with the Western powers are not any doing anything to him. It's the opposite.
Honorable.
They are selling him arms, sophisticated arms, and ammunition to use them against us, especially
Honorable.
American armament and French armament.
Honorable Ambassador,
yes.
I have a question for you. I want to direct the audience's attention to the fact you all had, the Sahrawi people has had a favorable judgment since 1945, where you should have already have been a functioning state and enjoying and reaping the benefits of your natural resources. In dollars, how many millions of dollars have the Western Sahrawi people lost in natural resources because of the fact that the judgment has not been enforced? And question two, have you considered filing a reparations case against the parties who has stifled your right to self-determination? And I yield the floor back to you.
From legal point of view, Western Sahara issue is a very clear-cut right of self-determination, right of liberation, the right of the people, the sovereignty of the people over their natural resources. There is a ruling from the Court of The Hague in our favor. There is a ruling from the Court of the European Union, from the African Union Court. There is case, and the European Union Court is expected to announce its verdict in May or June. We are seeing Morocco in far places like Panama, like New Zealand, like South Africa. And wherever we sue them, we won them. We sue them mainly on the plundering of the natural resources. With the Court of The Hague, they sued us, and the Court of The Hague said that the Sahrawi people is entitled for self-determination, and that Resolution 1514 should be applied in Western Sahara. But Morocco, part of his Western allies, especially France, Spain, and the United States, are going away with these violations of the international legality.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can the people do in the United States politically to encourage the United States to withdraw their support from Morocco, because they're stifling the Western Sahrawi's people right to self-determination and basically depriving them of their right to life by not allowing you all to enjoy those natural resources where you could have a better quality of life. What can be done here in the United States? How can we put pressure on the United States?
Excellent question. Injustice can continue only when good, concerned citizens are not taking action against it. That was the case with Namibia. That was the case with apartheid South Africa. But when we get organized, united, and act, they will bring them to book. And that's why, even Morocco invited the Black Caucus. When I was representative in Washington, D.C., I was surprised that the African caucus, Black caucus of the Congress of the United States, was invited by Morocco. And they go. It was only Karen Bass, Honorable Karen Bass, that brought the issue up with Don Payne, Jr. But all of the, and Louis, John Lewis of of Georgia. But they did not take any action because the citizens should be writing to their congressmen, should be writing to their senators, should be alerting them on these gross human rights violations, gross violation of international legality, disregard of the African position, disregard of the African Union position on this matter. If we as citizens, everyone, do something, just a letter to his or to her congressman, this thing will be stopping and we will win this struggle. But the Sahrawi people is organized, is united, is fighting on daily basis in the occupied territory, in the liberated territory, with armed struggle, with political and diplomatic struggle, with failing cases in the international courts against Morocco, and we will win. We will fix them. We will defeat them, as it was the case in all colonial cases in our continent.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I just want to be clear that I understood you well. The Black Caucus has taken the position with Morocco, and that position does not reflect all black people. I do want to stress that. I take issues. I have several issues with the Black Caucus representing us as a people here in the United States. We do not support all of the politics that the United States foreign policy.
I was representative of my people in D.C. from 2013 to 2015, December 2015. And the Black Caucus was invited by Morocco when Morocco was the only country, African country, that is not member of the African Union. They went there, and they didn't raise the issue of Western Sahara with the King of Morocco when he received them, except the late John Lewis and Don Payne Jr. and Honorable Karen Bass from California. There were 50 in the delegation. There were 20-something of them. Yes.
Okay.
And since the passing away of the great hero of our struggle, Don Payne Sr., who have been champion on this matter for many years, and now his son is doing something, he's a member of Western Sahara Caucus, but they are not active, they are not supposed to do what they have done regarding apartheid South Africa and regarding the case of Namibia. But this is the same case of decolonization, of oppression, of violation of human rights, of disrespect of African legality and African positions.
Yes, and it is. It is a flagrant. It is a flagrant violation, and it is a lengthy flagrant violation, Honorable Ambassador. And this calls to the question of the legitimacy of the United Nations, because it appears that they apply international human rights law selectively to whatever support the Western or the Europeans, hegemony. That's the way where they apply human rights. Even down to the humanitarian aid is weaponized by the United States, France. We see that all over the world where our people, specifically non-Europeans, have not enjoyed fully the right to self-determination. I'm going to bring in Sister Cecile because she is well-versed at she's looked at the demographics and the numbers and how the UN has selectively applied and enforced human rights when it comes to self-determination. Sister Cecile, will you please come in and join the discussion with the Honorable Ambassador?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. This is point that the ambassador is making, and Sister Elena, is something that we really need to push on. The fact that the UN was formed by the former colonizers, and when you look at the way that things are arbitrarily enforced and pushed, especially as it relates to African people, because we see that here with our plight here in the United States, is something that I think needs to be an issue for this the 2021, right? When you look at Morocco, was the person who was the country that first recognized the United States. So some of the bias probably comes from that, that they were the first ones to recognize them in 1776. So the fact that the Black Caucus is you know, going there and being favorable towards them is not surprising to us, because, you know, that was probably just a trick. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the people of Sahari need to create a petition online. I don't know if you have done that already, and lay out this case to people so they understand, and build momentum through that kind of process, so that the world understands what has happened to you, and unite with us as African descendants here in the United States. Because I personally and Elena, we have sent out letters after letters after letters, notifying the different rapporteurs, et cetera, and the response has been slow to say, one, we acknowledge what you're saying, and two, what next steps you can take. We're waiting on the International Commission that came recently, had a three-week hearing from many of the Black lawyers and civil rights lawyers who were representing victims of police brutality. And they gave a report earlier this week, or an update, and they said that they will be putting out a report next month. That report, if it's not showing the clear things that we have documented, will say to us that the UN is not really concerned about Black people. And so, Ambassador, I know that I know how frustrating it must be, because you have won these cases and won these judgments, and you can't get any enforcement. Why? Because the old colonizers, France, Spain, the USA, are sitting on the side of your oppressor. And that's what the world needs to understand, that the former colonizers are really not former. They're still colonizing, and they colonize when they control outcomes that lead to lack of self-determination for us as a people globally. Thank
Honorable
you. That's what I had to say.
Honorable Ambassador.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
How will, when the Western Sahara nation secure its self-determination, how will that region, tell us how the Western Sahara nation will be able to stabilize that region in terms of security, politics, economics, and and in terms of conserving its natural resources and developing that
yes.
region, because
yes.
I understand there is a lot of resources that's probably
yes.
what has stifled the Western Sahara nation's right to self-determination. That area is rich in
yes.
resources. So once
yes.
you all become sufficient and have your right to self-determination, tell us, how can you all be instrumental in stabilizing that region? Because I understand that it's unstable there now in terms of security and economics, and the people are having a hard time. Please elaborate on how
yes.
your success will benefit that region as a whole. And I yield the floor back to you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for this very pertinent question. But before it, I want to reply to a lie by Moroccan and Moroccan lobbyists that Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States. The first country that was recognized the United States was France. It was Lafayette, France, who sent their soldiers and their army to fight with the French, with the American Revolution. And after France, it was the United Kingdom when they signed the agreement with America. After that come Morocco. This is a lie, a well-circulated lie that that Morocco was the first country recognized in the United States. It's not totally baseless, not factual, and simply not true. In terms of our plan to secure Western Sahara, is a very viable state, a very autosufficient. In Western Sahara, there is the biggest deposit of phosphate rocks in the world, which is very important for agriculture. In Western Sahara, there is oil and gas, iron, gold, diamond. There is a plenty of renewable resources based on the sun and solar energy. I think, and there is a very big, the biggest maybe, arguably the most rich fisheries, the coasts of fish in the world, because of the proximity of Canarian Islands and because of the phosphate that fertilized the sea, gave a very optimal conditions for the growing and abundant eolitic resources in terms of fishery in Western Sahara. So the Sahrawis, through their struggle, have already built a state, an education system, a free and compulsory education system, free health care system, an army, a police, ID. There is a democratic system where women play a major role. There is a very vibrant democratic experience and a very exemplary good practices where our education system is free and compulsory for boys and girls with no discrimination. One man, one vote, local councillors, regional councillors, a national parliament that is functioning, that is doing a very strong oversight on the executive. And there is an army that already have defeated Morocco in the first war, and we will defeat them in the second war that is going on now. Well, North Africa is not doomed to be a region of terrorism and of illegal migration. North Africa is full of natural resources and human, young human educated resources. I think the only problem that we have in North Africa, that no regional integration mechanism is working because of Morocco occupation of our land. When Morocco occupation of our land sees, and when the Sahrawis enjoy their self-determination rights, we will have a very good relation with our Moroccan neighbors, with our Algerian neighbors, with our Mauritanian neighbors, and we can build a better region and a better reality in our region. And we are determined to do that, and we know how to do it, and we have resources to do it. The problem is the Western intervention and the Western backing of Moroccan occupation of the Sahrawi land illegally, and in disregard of international legality and in disregard of the Sahrawi rights, well recognized and well established international rights and national rights of the Sahrawi nation.
Ashe, Ashe. Brother Carl.
Can I say something, Elena?
Yes.
Elena,
yes.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay, so Ambassador, it seems that the world needs to understand your plight more. When South Africa and apartheid were there, when we had other struggles in Africa, there was a much better, well-informed media that kept people abreast of what's going on. So my question to you is, what actions have you all taken? I saw Sister Elena has a video up on Facebook. Actions have you taken? Prior to, speaking with Elena, I did not even know about your people. So you weren't on the radar. So what action is your country taking, or are your people taking, to, make the world understand who you are and what your plight is so that they can then support you?
Thank you very much. You know, we have done a long struggle against Moroccan occupation in terms of political struggle in the occupied territory and in military struggle against their occupation to our land. But we're also doing a very strong diplomatic campaign in the continent, in Africa, where the African Union have recognized our country, and now we are a full-fledged member of the African Union, where we have embassies and missions in the majority of the countries of our continent. When it comes to the United States, because of the distance and because of the cost, we have an office in Washington, D.C., and we have a small caucus, congressional caucus on Western Sahara, where some of the black caucus, like Don Payne Jr., is a member. And when Karim Bass, Honorable Karim Bass, is doing a role. But the rest, we don't have a very strong campaign in the United States. And that's what we want you to help us with. Because when Western Sahara is free for all Africans. All Africans are welcome in Western Sahara. It will only get support from African nations and from the African Union. So in our laws, Africans will be treated like citizens in the Sahrawi Republic when it's free. And I have said this, Karen Bass, when she was going to be president the former congressman John Conyers, when he was the dean of the Black Hawks. And we have, Morocco is saying exactly what apartheid South Africa is saying, that the problem is not in South Africa, only in Zimbabwe and Angola. Morocco is saying, no, the problem is only Algeria, because Algeria is supporting us. Also, as apartheid South Africa is saying, the problem is that ANC is a and PAC are a communist organization. Morocco also is saying that Polisario is a Marxist-Leninist, and it's a blunt lie. Morocco also saying, what apartheid South Africa, that we are not entitled to self-determination. They only give us a sort of autonomy, which is almost like the Bantustan proposal of apartheid South Africa. So the similarity between the two struggles, the case of Namibia and the case of South Africa, is very appalling. So really we appeal to all our sisters and brothers, African-American, to rally us to some action with their politicians to change this American Trump position. Because I didn't mention in my preliminary report that Trump have signed a presidential proclamation recognizing the so-called Moroccan sovereignty of Western Sahara, in a total violation of international law, in total violation of the old American position in this matter. And Biden, when he came, he didn't change that. He is rather using it as a trade card with us and with Morocco. And he is not doing anything to change and to revoke that shameful, illegal, and horrible trading in people's life and in territories, and colonized peoples and territories.
Brother Carl, are you there?
Yes, I am still here.
Yes.
Brother Carl, would
yes,
you like to join in the conversation? Brother Carl is in Tanzania, Africa. Please meet the Honorable Ambassador, Brother Carl.
Yes, Honorable Ambassador.
Jambu Karibu.
Glad to.
Jambu
yes,
Karibu, Asante Sana.
Asante and Pia. I know that there, Elena touched on the idea of resources, natural resources, and you spoke on the wealth of resources that are there in the Sahari area. Could you tell us, is there a frequent that you can speak of conflict over specific resources as they are on this side of the continent?
Yes, as I mentioned, the resources of the country, Morocco has occupied the western part of the territory of our land, where the main natural resources, where is phosphate, petrol, and fish. And they are selling selling those natural resources as cheap as it be to France and to the European Union and to some other international companies. The war and the occupation is mainly because of the natural resources. Because when Morocco occupied Western Sahara, they now can control 75% or 80% of the phosphate rocks that exist in the world. Because we have something like 50 and they have the other 25%. So they want to control the market of the phosphate in the world, to do a monopoly on it. But also the fishery, because the coasts of Western Sahara are the richest coasts in the world in terms of quantity and quality and number of species that in those waters. So Morocco is doing some agreements with the European Union and Spain about fishing rights, selling fishing rights in our territory to the multinational companies from those countries. That's why we have filed the case in the court of the Luxembourg, the Justice Court of the European Union, against the European Union that includes Western Sahara in his agreement, illegally in his agreement with Morocco. Last week, there were a case in New Zealand against the New Zealand companies that import illegally phosphate from Western Sahara. In America, there is a company named Botash that still imports phosphate from Western Sahara. And there were a company named Kerr McGee that doing petrol gas exploration. But they ceased because we threatened them of low cases. They stopped working there. But there are other companies that's still operating, especially from Spain and France.
Okay, so if I'm understanding,
there is. I want to refer you to an organization. Mm-hmm. It's named Western Sahara Natural Resource Watch. You can Google it, and it will give you enough information about the companies that operate illegally there, about the legality, about the court cases that have been filed, and the numbers and of those natural resources. Western Sahara.
Could you give me that name one more time, please?
What? Western Sahara Natural Resources Watch. It's in Norway.
Okay.
Honorable Ambassador, do we have your permission to put any news, because we have a news section on our website. Do we have your permission to put any information concerning the Western Sahara tribe on our site?
We have a small news agency. Its name SPS, Sahara Press Service, which goes SPS, RASD, Public Arab Sahara Democratic, .info. You have a total permission to put any item brought by SPS on your website.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I'll share it on mine also. So once we take a look at your Western Sahara Natural Resources Watch, we will be able to. I was going to ask some more questions, but it seems like the same approach that happened in South Africa, where you look at the companies that are benefiting from your demise and people being boycotting them, might be what you have to do, you know? So because this is a problem that's come up more. You have an African Union, but it's an African Union in name only. It's still getting its support from Western countries, and most African leaders are heavily compromised. So this issue of Western Sahara is issue that's going to be bringing us fully into the 21st century, because other places in Africa are undergoing some of the same things, and it's the same influence of that Spain, of that France, of that United EU that is causing part of this problem, because they're benefiting from the contracts that they have with these places.
It's residual colonialism. It's residual colonialism. And that is the battle. We're not only battling a global conspiracy of apartheid, but we're battling residual colonialism that's disguised. We don't hear anything about the plight of the Western Sahara people like we would have heard during apartheid South Africa, when this case is just as big, and it should have been addressed when Namibia was being addressed and when South Africa was being addressed. So this is where we're missing the boat as African people. This is an African people, a non-European people problem. In Eastern Europe, those small European nations with a population way less. Hello?
Yes?
Hello? Okay. There's some music.
From where coming?
Let me see. I'm going to mute some phones. Okay, it disappeared. Is everyone still on?
Yes.
I'm still here.
I'm on.
Okay, I don't know where that music came from. But anyway, as I was stating, when South Africa was addressing apartheid, Namibia was addressing apartheid, during that era, the issue should have been addressed 40 years ago. Now, we move on to the 1990s. You had Eritrea freed itself, but those European nations like Estonia, Latvia, who are fairly recent, they don't have the stressors that Western Sahara has had. When they wanted self-determination, they got it. End of discussion. So what I'm saying is we have to, as African people, okay, stand up and demand and say, you know, our humanity is on equal footing as any European in the world. If they get to know autonomy and self-determination and how the highest archy of political freedom, sovereignty, why can't ours be respected? And that's the fight of the 21st century, and that's what we Africans, I mean globally, we should be using this particular case as a organizing piece, because it's getting ready to be 2024. Okay, in 2014, I believe, that's when we had the pilot program, the Decade for Peoples of African Descent. What have we done as African people around the world? What gains have we made? We have 3 more years left out of 10 years, and we've done absolutely no organizing. We've done no planning, and we let one of the hugest crimes of humanity still exist. We got our people, the Western Sahara tribe, still sitting basically in a ghetto desert since 1975, living off of UN aid while their resources are being plundered. Okay? We as African people have to organize, put pressure on these organizations, international organizations, and the African Union. We need to start naming names who is not moving the ball towards liberating that region. If that region is stabilized, if Western Sahara is on a chessboard, I'm thinking that's the missing piece to stabilizing that region, stopping. I understand there's a slave trade there. I understand that there's a lot of migration there. I see it as a place that can stabilize that area and that can encourage development so the population can prosper. Our politics reflect the politics of World War II and the 1960s. We're in the 21st century, so we have to upgrade our political strategies. We have to build better political alliances according to the times right now. So with that, I want to yield the floor, open the floor up to anyone who would like to jump in and advance that point.
I want to advance that point, Elena. You're so on target. Europe is 7% of the land mass, 10% of the population, and have 50 countries in the UN. The UN only has 193, maybe 194 countries. So 10% of the world's population has a quarter of the UN, right? So this argument that we're making, how important European self-determination is, you can see it right there. You can see it right there. And I think that as we begin this struggle to finish up the decade of the people of African descent, we need to start drawing these parallels to what the Europeans have done for themselves as a 10% population, right, versus the non-white people of the world and what has happened to them. And the fact that the continent has 54 countries, and there are so many people there who also want self-determination, which means there's a possibility for even more countries to be formed, right? And it doesn't have to be a war. It should be peaceful, because when the colonial alleged masters sat in Berlin and divided up the continent, there was no African at the table. And so you got to look at who was at the table. The United States was at the table. Turkey was at the table, along with those other European nations. And then look at the outcome and how today in the year 2021, we're still feeling the impact of those outcomes, because they came in and separated those countries to meet their needs, not your need. And so Western Sahara is still a victim of colonialism. So I think that we need to collectively come together and address this issue as a collective and highlight the discrepancy of how the Europeans have more power. They're just like the white population here. The same thing they do everywhere. They have more power than their numbers, right, and conveniently allow self-determination for themselves, but refuse to allow self-determination for people of African descent. I think that should be part of our campaign.
And we should be doing
Self-determination is the first principle in the Charter of United Nations. And it is the first principle in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Self-determination is the right that sinqua no other political, economic, or social right could be enjoyed. It's the cardinal, the founding rock, the foundation rock for every human right. If self-determination is not enjoyed, no other right could be enjoyed or could be satisfied or could be acquired. That's why the United Nations is declaring the third decade for eradication of colonialism. It's in European, you see small, tiny countries like Monaco, which is one hotel and one casino. You see Andorra, which is a very tiny principality on the Pyrenees mountains between France and Spain. You see San Marino, a small city in Italy, or Liechtenstein, or many other countries. They have respected their right of self-determination. While Western Sahara, which is the size of Britain, which is the size of Colorado, they are not allowed to enjoy their right of self-determination, despite it is a verdict of the Court of the Hague. It's in the resolutions of the United Nations, but they are Africans. No one cares about it. Lithuania, Latvia, or Slovenia, which is a very tiny European, no, they have to have their self-determination and their statehood, and they are respected. When it comes to Africa, no, they don't care. They can continue struggling for that as long as Morocco is giving them some money. And the state of our world is so shameful, so illegal, and so disrespectful to the African people and to the African policies and to the African nation.
That's shameful.
To Europe.
That's something we can address. I think that we need to begin to highlight the problem just like that. This is white supremacy and racism. This is discrimination.
Well, I was thinking, of a 21st century, we need to have a Bandung conference. And because not only is this happening to Western Sahara, I had mentioned to Brother Atta that we also need to bring in West Papua New Guinea, because their circumstances was the same. Their sovereignty transferred from, I believe it was the the Dutch or either Australia to Indonesia, then Indonesia. It was the Dutch, from the Dutch to Indonesia. Meanwhile, that large population of black people, they were not worthy of a plebiscite. And as a matter of fact, it was a sham plebiscite what happened with them. And that's been covered up, and they're being massacred right now. So we need to reach out to Western Papua and any other persons of non-European descent that who want their right to self-determination and is being hindered. We have to bring this issue to the forefront, because if we don't get equal treatment at the United Nations, then maybe we need to sidestep them and create our own United Nations amongst us melanated people, because we can't keep passing down generations of colonialism, generations of poverty, generations of apartheid. So the fact of the matter is, when the apartheid in South Africa was addressed, we left Western Sahara out. That should have been on the table. So I don't know why these African leaders keep missing the ball. What is the issue with these African leaders that they can't understand that decolonization should be a political objective on that entire continent? If you want to stop the migration issue, then deal with the colonialism. Why can't our African leaders deal with the issue? Why is it that they want to continue to eat the scraps off of these Western European colonizers' plates? Because they don't understand that they're passing years. Look at the 40 years that Western Sahara has lost in property, lost in biological property, lost in resources. How many people, because of their quality of life, have died? Okay? This is one of the biggest travesties of the whole thing, is that the abuse have occurred for years. And we've had people that look like us in high places, like the Black Caucus, that co-sign on it. We have people in high places in the African Union that co-sign on this. We have to call these people to the carpet, because it's not just an issue here in the United States. It's global. And we're not having the conversations that we need to have, especially when we have a whole decade of African descent. We haven't put anything on the table. We have not isolated a problem and tried to address it. And almost 10 years has passed. We got 3 more years. What we need to use this Western Sahara case as the launching pad for dealing with the African problem globally, because no matter where we are, we're suffering. Even the people who got the countries who did were able to decolonize during the 60s, who got their freedom, they're being recolonized right now. Look at Zimbabwe. They won their freedom. They're having to give the land back right now. And look at them. They're not doing so well. Come back to the table as Africans. And with that, I yield the floor.
Does anyone want to say anything? Because I want to respond to that, right? The decade of the people of African descent states recognition, justice, development, right? And recently someone had put up something on WhatsApp entitled, "Poison Coup or the New Death, Diplomacy." And this person had written an article, and he says, "Anyone who ever gets close to any African leader will tell you this simple truth. Our leaders are constantly bullied by Europeans and Americans. At times, they just switch all the country radars and joke we could do more. They also cut telecommunication to make our leaders feel who the place really belongs to. They invite our leaders to see how they have a complete track record of all their calls, movements, how they went through their shooting range and tell them, we can get you at any time. They show pictures of their bedroom, their kids' room while sleeping. Chilling, huh? They have bribed everyone around our leaders to make them paranoid, therefore easily prey. In fact, 50,000 euro is enough to bribe an African minister to become a double agent. It's stubborn. They bring some movies, navies or soldiers fly over the country without permission and show some intimate pictures or movies of our leaders or their kids in Paris or Washington. They send them blackmail of their bad deals, bank accounts, their kids, their wives, and promise free publicity if they won't compromise. So to the question of why the African leaders are so weak, I just read something that tells you, right? The CIA is real, and the actions that they have taken against them, we know, because we have seen in the history of Africa, when an African leader is about his people, then something happens to him, right? So this whole recognition, justice, development, decade of the people of African descent, if we don't rise up now and say something about this, bring attention to this, then we are complicit also, right? Now, we were fighting our own struggle here in the United States, which everyone thinks we just love everything that's going on here, and we're peachy keen. So the same situation with the people of Western Sahara, the same situation for the people of Africa and the continent and global African people, right? This invisibility, this media coverage by the Europeans, whether they be Americans or Australians or Europeans from Europe, is the same thing, where they portray us in a certain way. So until we begin to portray ourselves to show our true stories, then this will continue. And I would encourage the people of Western Sahara to join forces with us as we take on the African Union, right? And its dependence on Europeans and European Union sovereignty and inability to handle the business of the people of the African continent. We are the richest continent in the world with the poorest people. I mean, how should that data keep playing out decade after decade when everyone comes to Africa to get what they need, but the Africans are leaving Africa to go somewhere else to be enslaved because they can't get what they need in their own continent? So I support the ambassador. I support what you're saying, Elena, and I support that it's time for us to be launching a bigger campaign to the world to ask these questions, including that the UN is complicit in our demise. And if the UN doesn't come up with a favorable response, though, that international commission that came here recently to talk about our own white supremacy and systemic racism and police brutality and not address the issue that it is also a self-determination issue and we are colonized people, then it's time for us to say that you don't have the legitimacy to continue to pretend that you are here for the people of the world, when you have allowed the Europeans to take 25% of the seats, you have allowed the ex-colonial masters, for lack of a better word, pirates, better word, pirates, to continue to monopolize 193 nations. And that's not right. And it's time for us to make race, and because the race of our people is the issue. Non-white people suffer disproportionately all across the world, and our countries are not allowed the same freedom that other countries have because of our status as people of African descent. And I yield back.
Carl, is there anything else that you would like to elaborate on?
Yes, I think Honorable Ambassador?
No, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, I would like to say that I think that we also need to have a further discussion in a different forum to discuss some of the practical folks that we need to have in place for some basic things, because I think that's also a part of the political aspect of what we're talking about, is having some other elbow bumping people in place. With their sleeves rolled up to do some of the everyday kind of thing as well. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. That's nothing else at this point.
Honorable Ambassador, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. What my sister earlier have said is very, very right. It have been said by Garvey, by Franz Fanon, by Mandela, by Kwame Nkrumah, by Patrice Lumumba, by all our distinguished leaders, Malcolm X, for example. We need to be organized. We need to stand for our rights. Time has shown that when we get organized, when we get mobilized, we win. We have done it with Namibia. We have done it with the civil rights movement. We have done it with apartheid South Africa. And we can do it about other issues like Western Sahara. There is a possibility that we win. We can just get organized, get voiceful, and get strategic about our action and support each other. And I want to thank you all for a very clear ideas and very steadfast solidarity.
You're welcome, Honorable Ambassador. And if there's anything that we can
welcome.
Do, let us know. We definitely want to advance this conversation into a clear political objective and strategy that could advance the Western Sahara's people agenda and also African people all over the world. We need to clean that United Nations up. 40 years is unacceptable. 5 years was unacceptable. Not to enjoy your human rights. So we need to put that to address the United Nations. That's where we need to take the fight to.
Small community in the United States, based mainly in New York, and I can later share their numbers with my sister Elaine. And she shared it with your other brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, that would be good.
That would be great.
This is a collective.
Do you have any in Tanzania?
The people of Africa, you know?
Yes, we have an embassy in Tanzania. I can give you. I will send through WhatsApp a number of our ambassador in Dar es Salaam, and she will share it with you.
Okay,
good.
Santi.
Wonderful.
And let me take a small minute to make condolences, my heartfelt condolences to the people of Tanzania after the passing away of President Magufuli.
My condolences to Carl. I tell you this, when I heard that he was sick, it broke my heart. And I prayed for him, and I asked people to pray for him. And when he died, it was as if Ember died. He was a great man of Africa, and we need more leaders like that. And I'm still heartbroken. So in his memory, the work we do is part of that in his memory, because that was a great leader of Africa.
Absolutely.
Yes, Tanzania have brought very distinguished leaders for our continent, straight from Mwalimu wa Taifa, Julius Nyerere, to Ali Hassan Mwinyi, to Salim, to Mkapa, the late Mkapa. All of them are distinguished leaders who have done a lot for the liberation of the continent.
And look at what happens to them. You know, Ambassador, you mentioned Libya and Muammar Gaddafi. And when I look at the role that this country played, right, with France to destabilize Libya, which was number 5 on the Human Development Index for Africa, okay, number 5, and to see what they have now wrought and brought to that country, that's a violation of
big
not only their human rights, that's a war crime. That's what, so I'm saying to you that
war crime, yeah.
This time we are in, France need to be at the Hague. The United States and Barack Obama and all of these people need to be at the Hague, because these are war crimes against us. And people, because again, they control the media, you know, it comes up, you hear about it, then it disappears. In the meantime, all of these millions of people's lives have been disrupted, a whole economy, right? And you have slavery going on in these places because you've destabilized the economy.
Yes.
And who's enslaved? It's usually the darker people, the Africans, right?
Yes.
So I say to you,
yes.
It's time for to together and highlight this. This is still global white supremacy being acted out. We must highlight the role that France, a little country, no gold, has a highest, some of the highest gold reserves. Where did it come from? It came from the African continent. And so, therefore, they are biased when it comes to decisions being made in the name of us at the UN. Okay? They cannot have such power in the Security Council where one of their vote negates all 15. That does not make any sense. So it's time for us to shed a little light on what's really going on here, because it's a joke to say we have a UN that all of us, 193 countries are there and have equal access and equal vote, when the same colonizers are still running the Security Council, are still bombarding and punishing others who don't vote in their best interest, and supporting apartheid for us in the United States, supporting apartheid for you all in Africa, and supporting apartheid for the Palestinian people, right, and in every other place in the earth. So it's time for us as people of African descent to come together to say enough is enough and to highlight this. So, Ambassador, I thank you for your courage and for coming on and talking to us about these things and sharing that knowledge. And any documents that you can share, we'll go onto the website that you mentioned. But anything else that you think that we need to be able to read, please share with Sister Elena so that we can begin to look at it. Thank you.
Many thanks for Elena, Sister Elena. Bring me with such lovely people. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
You're so welcome, Honorable Ambassador. And if there are any other ambassadors or any other people who feel the approach that we intend to take, send them our way, because we need to build a coalition that's willing, because I understand not a whole lot of people are willing or can afford to go up against the United States, to be that person to go not afraid. And, you know, we're not afraid on this end. Sister Cecile and I, we spoke in Iran. We're not afraid to speak out. But we can't do everything. We can't do it all. We need people who support our position that are not afraid to challenge the United States apartheid politics and foreign policy, to challenge the UN's apartheid politics and selective enforcement of human rights and weaponizing humanitarian aid. It's an atrocity and a crime against humanity what's going on right now in Haiti. Haiti is being destabilized. We have to have this same discussion with them. So I would like to, and I do propose that we have a conference to address one of the biggest crimes against African people of the 21st century, which is 21st century apartheid. And the Western Sahara case is the prime example. And if we can't organize as African people around that, then we deserve to be where we are. It's a flagrant violation, you know, and we're not having the discussions that we need to have. Self-determination and sovereignty is the highest political aspiration that anyone should have the right to aspire to and to realize at some point in time. You shouldn't have had to wait 40 years. That's way too long. European countries hadn't waited that long. Why should the Sahrawi people have to continue to wait? It's time to put that political pressure on these countries now. But we need people who are not afraid to stand up. You know, what I found in this movement, people will go so far, but then they're not willing to go the extra mile, termination. And when I say that extra mile, oh, well, you know, this administration's in there now. We may not want to say anything. It's the same. Trump is no different than Biden. They're still running off of that same doctrine of discovery. Those same papal bulls that secured their hegemony over the world, they're still operating off of those old political foreign policies of just complete and total annihilation of peoples and taking their land. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. So we as African people, we're going to have to come together and unify the people with courage, because we have a lot of puppet leadership that they talk a good game, but at the end of the day, they're really of no substance. So if we work with anybody, we want to work with people who are willing to go that mile to say to the UN, this is no longer acceptable. We're not taking any more crumbs. Just like the Sahrawi people, they don't want that watered-down autonomy. They don't want to rub elbows with your Commonwealth. They want to be a sovereign country, hands down. That is their right. That is what we support. That's what we need. No sugarcoating, because we get a lot of leadership who likes to sugarcoat. And with that, I yield the floor to anyone who would like to speak, and then we're going to end the call.
Sister, I know. This is Jack. Okay, good. Oh, real quickly, this is Jacqueline. I'm very glad to have been here to hear and listen and learn from all of you, and I just commend you all for your continued work, and I look forward to hearing more. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Jackie, for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. And I do want to acknowledge the last two callers that called in, but I want to yield the floor back to the Honorable Ambassador so he can close us out and tell us what he wants us to do. Give us our marching orders, Honorable Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Sister Elena. First of all, I'm very delighted, extremely happy for this gesture, and all the credit goes for you, Mr. Elena, for many times you are inviting me to this show, which was very worthwhile. I'm very pleased to meet these sisters and brothers from different places, and the matter is a question of dignity, a question of freedom, a question of legality. Question of human rights. We want our brothers and sisters to raise this issue with their representatives, to write emails to their representatives in Congress, to their representatives in the Senate, to the media, to the civil movement. Any word will count. Any gesture will count. Small gestures, when they multiply, they become a huge step towards freedom and towards justice. I have my sister Elaine has my telephone and my email, and you are all welcome to contact me anytime. Again, I will hook you up with our Association of Sahrawis living in American Sahrawis who live in the United States, some of them in New York, in D.C., in Georgia, and they will be very happy to be invited to the talk shows, to the activities that you organize. Let's get closer, get together, and I'm totally under your disposal for anything. And I thank you very, very, very much for this very kind gesture.
Thank you. Thank you, all of my guests, for joining me. Thank you, Honorable Ambassador. Please send my love to the Western Sahrawi people. I have really appreciated and been honored by having you here, because you represent strength. The Western Sahara people, to endure the 40 years that they've endured, represent the strength of us as African people. And with that, I'm going to close out the show. I love you all, and you have a wonderful rest of your day and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman. me out of disrespect to ourselves because we don't know who you are in the first place. This is out of common respect for all women, period. Well, like this song, yo. I'm quite single and occasionally I mingle. But aside from all the rest, it sparks my interest. No ma'am, I don't know you.
But it turned out you wouldn't lie. Look me in my eye, I listened, sucked it up, pushed on, we made amends. Both sides clicked, true friends. Since then, years ain't gone by. Brought a baby girl into this world, made our parents grandfolk. Household with no pope. Took care of ye, you, me. When she got put out on the curb, closer than the skin on the back of my hand. Through the thick and thin, we can win. Beautiful black skin, yeah.
Music loud or stab cold, but on a scale of 1 to 10, you were 12. I chose her over jail and hell, originally from ATL.
Compatible souls come together under bad weather to discuss this trust amongst the so-called good in every one man. How I wish this was true, I deal with facts only. Already unclone man, why I sang the blues with there's only one God that watches over our every step. I need his help when I'm walking, looking for the right female. I can't tell sometimes, they tell me the devil's coming, bumbling his approach. Spontaneous with the game, he crossed the naive of a girl falling for the okay. Let the pistol smoke the one who live by, die by. Example of how relationships can be.
I rolled the dice, taking a chance, they crapping out. Not like still, today, boy, I lost one of my best lips. Not your thick lips. drugs, no animal fat implants, wide load. Just started working at the F.O. 19 years old, work more, hope, weight, and gold. But it was all my fault, so don't cry, I will stand. If down the line I want you back in the fair land and meet you, will just promise me you'll find a human. It's about some business. Hope she found what hope was looking for, like a dream of Martin. I wanted to be more than friends. Beautiful black skin. Black skin. Yo, this is a public announcement. Man, I'm so sick of seeing trash on the damn street, man. I'm sick of y'all folk coming up out of the store, taking your little candy out, throwing the little paper on the ground, man. It's fucking up the hood. Also, man, I'm sick of y'all folks standing around. You know, when you're talking to your folks or something, y'all drinking on a little something, something. You take it, you pour it out to your dead homies, but then you throw the bitch right at them. Man, don't shit me up, huh? I'm doing what I do. I'm just sick of seeing that all around the nation, man. We fucking up our own hood.